Nope. Seen it. Oh, nah.
Can't find something to watch? Introducing Sky Stream. It's Sky without the dish. Watch unmissable Sky exclusives like The Regime and Netflix too, all over super reliable Sky full fibre broadband. Get Sky Stream, Sky Broadband and Netflix for just €50 a month. Search Sky Stream. Availability subject location. New customers only. 12-month minimum term. Stream and broadband sold separately. Further terms apply. For more info, see sky.ie/speeds.
Seachtain. An Indo Ascaelige.
Time I mon iroachtaí a dhéanamh teacht ar a chorp. Agus súligam amach an seo, gur féidir é a chur in uaig ceart lena bhaintir féin.
Scíltaí, fios, tuairimí.
Tá sé dochreite nach bhféadfach ara i gcuirna meáin an cheist sin a eicáil.
Bhí an talam a gnám go raibh orthcháir na reachtam. Iadach sé tarraing go raibh an orthcháir san i lis dúthail agus gimine fanacht gór a chlig sár ducha sin éachar. Ná ní bhin ann thar d'oraach sin, bhin marav.
Seachtain. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920, there's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to The Left Wing. Well, it has been a pretty busy week in rugby this week. And in this episode, we're going to mainly concentrate on the massive weekend of Champions Cup games this weekend with all four provinces playing French opposition. Keane Tracy is here with me. Keane, let's start with Munster and their team to play Toulon at the Stade Félix Mayol at 3:15 tomorrow. As we know, Munster's roster has been savaged by injuries, but finally, some good news. Peter Mahoney is back in the team for his second appearance of the season after a shoulder injury. Niall Scannell starts his first game of the season after a groin injury. Alex Nankivell is also back after an ankle injury. And Joey Carberry's on the bench after recovering from his wrist injury. Great to see those guys back.
Yeah, exactly, Sinead. A bit of good news finally from a Munster point of view. I reckon every time Munster release a press statement about an injury update, Munster fans are looking through their fingers because it's just been blow after blow. So look, it's definitely a massive positive look that goes without say to have a guy like Peter O'Mahony back. I actually think Niall Scannell coming back is almost just as big, to be honest. When you look at the problems that Munster have had around the set piece in particular, the line-out and Niall Scannell, I know he's kind of fallen down the pecking order. He's kind of lost his place to Dermot Barron over the last while, but such a vastly experienced campaigner. Peter O'Mahony is still one of Munster's main leaders. I know he's not the captain anymore, and Tadhg Byrne is going to be captain again tomorrow, but he's so important for the overall leadership, but also the running of the line-out. So to have Niall Scannell and Peter O'Mahony back in tandem is massive for Munster. It really, really is. I think we have to probably be realistic about what we expect from maybe Munster in general, but also two guys like that who haven't played a whole lot of rugby. In Niall Scannell's case, like you said, Sinead, hasn't played at all this season. So I don't think putting those two guys back in, particularly against this caliber of Toulon team, which I know we can get on and talk to, is going to mean that suddenly Munster's problems are all fixed. They have found themselves in a bit of a hole of their own making, you'd have to say. Like that draw against Bayonne in week one was just so disappointing. And then I was over in Exeter in week two and they played fantastic rugby for 50, 55 minutes and then just totally collapsed. So they're going over to France tomorrow to Félix Mayol, one of the toughest places to go in, you'd have to say, European rugby. And that's not even a cliche. You know, we were kind of rolling it out for Sandy Park as well, and it proved to be the case in the previous round. So this is a massive challenge. And just because Munster have Niall Scannell and Peter O'Mahony back doesn't mean that I think all of a sudden they're going to fire on all cylinders. But there's no doubt that it is a huge boost.
Yeah, and what about that Toulon team, Keane? They're bottom of the pool with 2 points. What about the team they're sending out there tomorrow?
It's pretty meaty. You see, we'll get on and we'll talk about Stade Francais coming to Dublin tomorrow. But when you have a French team playing at home, even if their interest in the competition might be slightly dwindling, when they're at home, they want to play well and they want to get a win. And when it's a team like Munster coming to town, and you know Munster have had a bit of a rivalry with Toulon over the years, they're going to want to make a statement at home. So I think there was probably much less of a chance Toulon rolling out the Espoirs for the visit of Munster tomorrow, much as I would imagine Graham Rowntree would have preferred if they did. But you just look through it, Sinead. I mean, Danny Priso in the second row, Kieran Brooks, vastly experienced campaigner, Fakunde Issa at number 8, Dan Bigger at out half, Lester Fine-Nuku, who was an All Black not that long ago, on the wing, Melvin Jaminet, who's obviously just back Toulouse as well. When you look through the team, it's just packed with quality, packed with power. The kind of thing that maybe Munster have struggled with, I would say, this season. And look, you know, we've already touched on it, when they're missing guys like Peter O'Mahony, who's obviously back now, but Jean Klein is such a big loss to Munster at the best of times, but particularly when you're going away to France, and you'd imagine that Toulon are really going to look to take the game to Munster up front, and that's exactly where you want a guy like Jean Klein. So there's going to be a big onus, I think, on the Munster pack tomorrow. It's interesting to see Tom O'Hearn has gone back into the second row. I think that's a case of needs must, and it is going to be interesting to see how this plays out over the next while, because through all of Munster's struggles in recent weeks, I still think Tom O'Hearn has been a shining light, and it's going to be very interesting to see if he gets into the Ireland squad next week. But a lot of people would have said that maybe he is better suited to playing at number 6, but when you have a guy like Peter O'Mahony coming back, I suppose it makes sense to get as many of your best players on the pitch. John Hodden has also been playing really well. So, I mean, he certainly didn't deserve to lose his place in the team either. So, Tom O'Hearn will link up with Tadhg Byrne, like I said, who's going to be captain. But there's a big onus, I think, on the Munster pack to front up, because if they lose that battle, as they have done in recent weeks, particularly around the scrum, we've already mentioned the line out, but that pack that Toulon have named, like I said, is pretty meaty. And I can imagine the first scrum of the game, they're going to be looking to lay down a big marker. John Ryan is back at the team. Obviously, Ollie Yeager misses out. He's still going through the return to play protocols, which just sums up, I think, Munster's unlucky, you know, run of injuries, because Ollie Yeager was signed with games like this in mind. He's a big unit. You saw him giving as good as he got against Andrew Porter on St. Stephen's Day, and it looked like he was really kind of finding his feet at Munster. But hopefully we see him back sooner rather than later, and hopefully Munster still have a chance, I think, with Northampton coming to Thomond Park next week. I think the biggest job they have in their hands is making sure that that's still a live game and they can realistically still get out of the pool.
Yeah, absolutely. Munster without a win, of course, since the 1st of December. I was reading in the preview material sent out by the EPCR there that Munster have the lowest scrum success in the tournament this season with 83.3%. And they're also just one of two sides yet to win a scrum penalty. And you were talking about there, we know the issues that have been there with the line out, Keane, and at least Peter O'Mahony is back. But I feel, you know, we want to see the flash stuff, obviously, but we just need to see the solidity there in the set piece, at line out and at scrum as well.
Yeah, like a strange quirk of Munster's season has been they still haven't won away from home. And if you think back to last season, their run to winning the URC in such stunning fashion included like massive amount of resilience on the road. Like how many games did they win in South Africa? They went to Glasgow and won over there. Yet this season, their away form has totally deserted them. Now they will look back and reflect on games like I'm here at the Aviva Stadium at the moment. They'll reflect on, you know, how close they pushed Leinster in that game before Christmas. We touched on the Exeter game. That was a game they never should have lost after how well they played and the lead they took. So they have been in games. They obviously lost in Ravenhill as well. They drew in Italy. So they have been in away games. But for a team who we'd become so accustomed to eking out big away days, I think it's been really disappointing that Munster have lost that. Now, look, you can blame the injuries and all that, but I think internally they won't be looking for that as an excuse. They will expect much higher standards than they delivered. But I suppose, you know, you're asking about the fundamentals. Absolutely, they need to get the fundamentals right. But going to a place like Toulon against a team like this is so much easier said than done. And I think Munster found that out in Sandy Park the last day. Look, it's a very different challenge facing Toulon than facing Exeter. But Exeter just knew the quirks of Sandy Park. It's a really old school stadium. They used the wind so well. In the second half, you'd imagine it's going to be a packed crowd in the Mayo tomorrow. They're seriously vociferous. They'll get on top of Munster. I mean, it's probably going to be tough to hear the line-out calls and stuff like that for the likes of Peter O'Mahony and Niall Scannell, but they have to find a way to steady the ship. I mean, at the start of the season, Sinead, we were, you know, thinking that Munster absolutely should get out of this pool, not just get out of it, but should be getting out of it on top. And then that would obviously mean that they'd enhance their seeding for the knockout stages, which, as we know, is so important to try and get home advantage. So they were being discussed as dark horses, as URC champions. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, their Champions Cup campaign hangs by a thread, going to, like I mentioned earlier, one of the most difficult places around. But look, we've been down this road so many times with Munster over the years, you'd be a fool to write them off, but the odds are certainly stacked against them. But like I said, we've seen them deliver when their backs are against the wall in the past.
Yeah, no, we haven't. They're fifth in Pool 3 going into this weekend's round of games. I suppose one of the big talking points of this weekend generally will be to see as well if an Irish winger can really kind of plant a flag for that vacancy left by Mac Hansen, who's going to miss the Six Nations as well. So Calvin Nash is in there for Munster. In Ulster, we've got Rob Balakoon, Jacob Stockdale on the wings as well. Jordan Larmer there for Leinster. James Lowe's back as well. We get into that, into his return in a moment. But in the wider context, in terms of those wingers for Calvin Nash as well there tomorrow, there is a big opening to play for here.
Yeah, you're right. It's a massive subplot, I would say, across the board. There's a lot of guys, I think, on the fringes of making the Ireland squad. Andy Farrell, who's had a busy week, to be fair, is going to name his Six Nations. Yeah, just a bit. But he's going to name his Six Nations squad on Wednesday. So, look, there's always loads to play for in Champions Cup games from an individual and a collective point of view. But you're right, the wingers are absolutely fascinating. Like I said, I'm just here at the Aviva Stadium. Leo Cullen has just held his press conference and he was asked about Jordan Larmer and he was obviously absolutely singing the praises of Larmer, who's had a very good season, it must be said, for Leinster. But yeah, I'm excited by the prospect of Calvin Nash not just making the Six Nations squad but also getting a proper crack. Like, it would be a huge decision for Andy Farrell, I think, to throw a guy like Calvin Nash into the deep end in the opening game in Marseille. But we've seen over the years since Andy Farrell has been in charge, he's not afraid to back young players. I know Calvin Nash isn't that young. He's been around for longer than maybe people think, but he's been a really consistent performer for Munster over the last couple of years. He was integral to them winning the URC last season. He had a bit of a kind of hot and cold game, I would say, in Exeter in the previous round when he left the ball bounce. But I think you could not forgive him for it, but I think he'd taken a heavy blow just before it, which is worth bearing in mind. But like, by and large, he's been solid defensively. I think he adds a spark. And I think crucially, he plays, look, there's very few players, there's probably no other player in Irish rugby who plays the wing role as well as Mac Hansen in terms of what Andy Farrell wants. But Munster under Mike Prendergast used their wings in a very similar way. So whereas in the past, when Johan van Graan was in charge, I feel like a lot of these guys like Calvin Nash were kind of banging their head against a brick wall almost, because this style of play was just so different to what Ireland were looking for. Whereas now it's much more aligned. So I think guys like Calvin Nash, Shane Daly as well, Simon Zeebo, they'll feel like, because the style of play that they're playing is much more aligned with Andy Farrell, that they have a genuine chance of getting into that squad next week. And I've kind of long had the sense about Calvin Nash that I think at times we forget or maybe underestimate how big of improvements, because Mac Hansen is a great example of this, how much improvements players can make when they get into an international setup, not maybe necessarily just playing, but being in around the camp, being comfortable, learning the systems, and then being backed by a guy like Andy Farrell. And I get the sense that if Calvin Nash got that opportunity, he could probably kick on to another level. I think he has another level in him. So I'm excited by, like I said, the prospect of him playing, but I think he needs a big performance. Like, this is a great test. If you were looking at this as an audition for, you know, potentially playing in that opening game in France, going to the Mayol and delivering and not necessarily doing anything flash, but just doing what's asked of you is a massive, massive opportunity. But I'm sure Jordan Larmour is thinking the exact same thing, and Robert Balakoon is thinking the exact same thing with Toulouse coming to Belfast. So it's a fascinating subplot to the weekend.
Oh, it is indeed. Now our colleague Rory O'Connor is going to be at that game in Toulon for us. And moving on to Leinster, as you said, you were at the Leinster press conference there at the Viva Stadium just a little earlier. They play Stade Francais there tomorrow with a 5:30 kickoff. Leinster top of Pool 4 on 9 points, just ahead of Leicester, who are also on 9 points. As just mentioned there, James Lowe is back in the Leinster team. Tyke Furlong also returns as well. A timely boost for Ireland, though, that Lowe is back. His first game of the season, first time playing since that World Cup quarterfinal defeat to New Zealand last October, which feels like ages ago.
Yeah, you and me both. I'm sitting here indoors, Sinead, wearing a coat. So not quite what we were used to when we were in France, which does seem like a long time ago. Yeah, look, an absolutely massive boost. James Lowe was back in New Zealand for personal reasons for a bit after the World Cup. So he hasn't necessarily been injured per se. I think a large part of his absence obviously was that he was away, but when he came back, he didn't have a preseason under his belt. So he's been trying to get back up to speed. My understanding is that he was very close to making his return against Ulster recently, but he just didn't quite hit all his markers. So he's been back in the country for a good few weeks now. I think Leinster have managed him very, very well. You know, that's a good example of it, that they didn't want to rush him back too soon. So I don't think there was ever any great fear, to be honest, that James Lowe wouldn't be available for the Six Nations. I think it was always the plan that he was going to come back, if not for that Ulster game, for this game tomorrow against Stade Francais. So look, I mean, if he gets back-to-back games in the Champions Cup and shows, you know, no issues or whatever, you'd have no fear at all of him playing in that opening game in Marseille on February 2nd. And it's so important that he does, with Mac Hansen out, with Jimmy O'Brien out. Ireland are short, as we've just discussed there, in terms of wing options. And we've seen it, I think, over the course of the season at Jameson Gibson Park, has taken on a lot more responsibility in terms of his kicking game, because without having James Lowe's left boot there, you know, it's been a bit tricky. So it's going to be interesting to see how he slots in, because let's not forget, this is his first time playing in Jack Nienaber's new blitz defensive system. Yeah. So like, that's going to be, I think, a challenge for him. But to be fair, we all remember when James Lowe first burst onto the scene with Ireland, he had a few defensive struggles, and to be fair, went away, worked in them, and came back almost a completely changed player. So it's going to be interesting to see how he kind of gets his head around that, because it is very different. We were speaking to Jack Nienaber earlier this week, and he was explaining how his blitz system is much different to what Leinster were used to when they were operating under more of a drift under Stuart Lancaster last season. So that would be a challenge in itself. I think the team that Stade are bringing over is probably more favourable to Leinster, because they've left a good few of their big guns at home. Look, they've lost their opening two games, and I think when Leinster were doing their prep this week, it was probably going to be difficult to predict what kind of side they were going to bring. So they still have guys like Brad Weber, who I actually spoke to earlier this week. He's a former All Black. He's got a very interesting story. His partner is from Dublin, so he's got a huge amount of his partner's family coming tomorrow. Obviously, he played with the Chiefs. He's very good friends with James Lowe. So not to give away all the interview, but he had to get on to James Lowe for a few extra tickets this week to keep sweet with the in-laws. So that's a nice little story, a nice little subplot for tomorrow. He's never played in Ireland. He was due to play for the All Blacks in 2021, but picked up an injury the previous week. So he's absolutely buzzing to get the chance to play, like I said, in front of his partner's family. So look, I would still expect Leinster to have far too much quality. They haven't been at their best this season. There's a big crowd expected here at the Aviva, which, you know, normally they have their big Aviva European game before Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but ticket sales, by all accounts, are going really well. So while it should be a big occasion, I think this is a chance for Leinster to, you know, rack up 5 points and to maybe iron out a few things defensively, but also in attack, because they haven't really fired on all cylinders at all this season. So perfect opportunity, like you said, Furlong coming back into the team and James Lowe as well. They probably feel like they have a bit of a point to prove, especially after losing to Ulster last time out.
Yeah, and the rotating kind of continues there as well at out half, Keane. Ciarán Frawley starts and Sam Prendergast is on the bench and no Harry Byrne in the squad at all.
Yeah, that was the big talking point, Sinead, from the press conference just now. Harry Byrne was due to be involved, Leo right. Cullen told us, but he picked up an ankle injury in training this week, which, look, to say the least, is not well timed with the squad being named next Wednesday. Leo Cullen said he hopes it's not too serious. Now, we don't know whether Harry Byrne was due to start or whether he was due to be on the bench. There's been some murmurings that he was possibly going to be on the bench, even though I would have, like, given the way Leo Cullen has selected all season, I would have expected, if Harry Byrne was fit, to be playing 10. Because he seems just to prefer Ciarán Frawley as that kind of versatile player. So what an opportunity for Ciarán Frawley. It's his second consecutive start of 10 in the Champions Cup. Didn't quite go all his own way against Sale, but it wasn't on him at all.
Yeah.
A mixed bag, but it was a mixed bag from Leinster in general. I don't think that was all on him, but Frawley was excellent here. I know we were both at the game, Sinead, against Munster before Christmas. He was outstanding that day when he came on at 10. So look, this is another big opportunity for a guy to stake his claim. I would expect him to be in the Six Nations squad anyway, but I think if Ciarán Frawley goes well tomorrow and possibly even gets another start next week away to Leicester, then I think he'd put himself in the driving seat to be on the bench behind Jack Crowley in Marseille. And I don't think, you know, a lot's made kind of how much Frawley is shifted around. But I think if Andy Farrell picks his squad, and if he believes Ciarán Frawley is the best backup option to Jack Crowley, I don't think he'd have too much of a problem in backing him. I just think... Mm-hmm. You know, he's such his own man, and we've seen it over the years how good of a selector is. He sees things differently. You know, James and Gibson Park, a good example. He backed Mac Hansen so early. So I wouldn't be surprised if Farrell isn't overly concerned. Of course, he'd prefer if Ciarán Frawley was playing every week at 10. With Ross Byrne out injured. But I have a funny feeling that he'll be kind of less concerned maybe, but then someone like his predecessor, who probably would have been really stressing over lack of minutes and stuff. I think Farrell would be happy to back Frawley in Marseille if he needs to be. But look, the fact he's getting a start here tomorrow with the Aviva, big occasion again, it's a huge opportunity for him to impress. And if he does get the nod again next week going to Welford Road, that's a different challenge altogether. But again, it would really play into his hands ahead of that Six Nations.
Yeah, God, that is a head wreck though for Harry Byrne, and hope that goes okay for him. He's just trying to get a run of games together as well. Let's move on to Ulster against Toulouse, one of the games of the weekend, really. It's a sellout in Belfast tomorrow night. No Rob Herring in the Ulster squad. Tom Stewart starts at hooker after his man of the match against Leinster at the RDS that day. Of course, Billy Burns keeps that 10 jersey. John Cooney alongside him. They're coming up against quite the opponents, Keane. Anton Dupont is still there, obviously, with Toulouse before he takes his secondment to the France 7 squad. And Thomas Ramos at 10. It's a big one.
It is. No sign of Jake Flannery. I don't know, did you say something to him in your very good interview that you'd done?
I know, the rotation continues there for him.
We call it the curse, Sinead.
Yeah.
I was getting, I chatted to Mac Hansen a few weeks ago down in Galway, and he got injured then in the game that I was covering in the Bordeaux game. So I was being slagged that I had cursed him. But no, it's a massive game, Sinead. Ulster's season, like, you really felt like it could have been a turning point when they beat Racing last time out in Belfast, and it's proven to be a huge one, because obviously they've won two games since and beaten Leinster in the RDS. Okay, Leinster had rotated their team, but that's not to take away anything from an Ulster point of view. So this is a massive challenge. I mean, anytime you're getting to play Toulouse, and I think you've mentioned there before, Dupont goes to the sevens. It was interesting to see him. It looked like last week he was having his first training session with them. I think, you know, Leinster in a points race with themselves to try and get the highest seeding possible. Like, Toulouse are very much in that category. And I'd imagine knowing that they're going to be without the best player in the world for the foreseeable, they're going to want to eke absolutely every drop out of him over the next while just to make sure that they do get as many points as possible. But when Ulster are on it and Ravenhill is packed to the rafters, which it obviously will be tomorrow night, like, again, not to use a cliche, but it can be a tricky place for away teams to go. I think the fact that it's a 4G pitch now up there is a bit of a leveler, because, you know, if it was cold tomorrow and potentially wet, you know, would Toulouse fancy it? Whereas, like, the likes of DuPont and Ramos and Blair Kinghorn's fascinating one at fullback as well. Like, they'll have no issues at all playing on that fast surface too. But Ulster need to use the last few weeks as, you know, and a springboard. They've already shown that they've done it. We've been quite critical, I would say, of them. But that's only because you can see the talent that they have within their squad, and they don't always play to their potential, which I think must be really frustrating from an Ulster supporter's point of view. But look, they've built up some lovely momentum. They've got a big French team coming to town. And what would it do for their confidence for the rest of the season if they could down Toulouse as well as Racing at home? That would be absolutely massive for them. And you just look, you've named out a few players, Sinead, that's in the team. And we've mentioned a guy like Robert Balakoon, you know, who I would say is probably on the periphery. I would say he's behind the likes of Calvin Nash and Jordan Larmour. Don't think he's been at his best this season. I think at times you're wanting to see him come off his wing more. Now, I don't know if he's playing within a restrictive system, but everything you hear from the Ulster camp is that they want to play this more expansive game. So if indeed that is the case, then Balakoon is no different to Larmour and Nash in that this is a huge chance for him to stake a claim, because I do feel like he has a little bit more ground to make up. And like, if we were having this conversation this time last year, like, I was thinking that Balakoon could be a star at Ireland's World Cup just before kind of Mac Hansen had broken through and made the 14 jersey his own. I genuinely thought that we had a star in our hands in Robert Balakoon, and look, we still might. Like, he possesses something that we just don't have an Irish rugby, and that's just outright speed. But if he can get a few more than nuts and bolts, become that untidy winger that Andy Farrell so famously spoke about. And like I said, Calvin Nash plays that way. Jordan Larmour is starting to play that way. Mac Hansen plays that way. If Robert Balakoon can start having more involvements and almost not just waiting for the ball to come to him on the wing so that he can burn someone on the outside, like, time is still very much on his side to make an impression with Ireland as well. And what better, I suppose, time to do it a few days out from the squad announcement against one of Europe's powerhouses.
Yeah, okay, let's go on to Lyon against Connacht. They kind of kick it off for the provinces this weekend, Connacht against Lyon in France tomorrow, 1 o'clock Irish time kickoff. As we know, Hansen is out. No Bundy Aki for them either this weekend. Jack Carty at 10. Michael McDonald is given his first Connacht start at scrum half. JJ Hanrahan at full back, which is interesting to see, Keane. And Sean Jansen returns from injury to start at number 8. And you talk about kind of springboards there. As much as we saw how their defeat to Leinster that time at the Sports Ground kind of hurt them, maybe that win over Munster on New Year's Day might be their springboard to kind of get their confidence going as well and get a bit of momentum.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a tricky enough period for Connacht after making such a good start to the season. Look, it was always going to be tricky for Connacht, I think, to manage on two fronts, just with the lack of depth maybe that they have in their squad, even though I think it's much improved than it has been maybe in previous years. But this is a tough task to go over to a place like Lyon. No Bundy Aki, which is a shame after he won the Guinness Rugby Writers Player of the Year Award during the week, Sinead, which you co-hosted excellently, may I say. But it's a shame not to see him involved. Like, we just know what Bundy Aki brings. I don't know if it's a player management rotation sort of thing, and if it is, then that probably points to where Connacht's ambitions are. The writing is on the wall, I think, in terms of them trying to get out of the pool. I was listening to Pete Wilkins at his press conference earlier this week, and he was very much of the mind that they were going to go over to Lyon and do everything they could to win. They've got Bristol at home next week, which was going to be a really, you know, fascinating game, with Pat Lam obviously coming back to the Sports Ground and a few other ex-Connacht heads. But this is a tough challenge for them. Like, it's no point in beating around the bush. They've found it very tough in Europe so far. They massively underperformed in that opening game against Bordeaux. And I know they took plenty of heart from how they performed against Saracens last time out, but their defence was just leaking points at an alarming rate. And while they did shore it up against Munster and kept Munster tryless, that was a massive, I think, feather in their cap, particularly for Scott Fardy and his new defensive system. But going away to France is a different matter entirely. So I think they're going to be up against it. But hopefully they can get something. I mean, similar enough to Munster, like Connacht are capable of springing a surprise. Going to Lyon is tough, but it's not. I wouldn't put it in the same category as going to Toulon, to the Mayo or Toulouse, places like that. But nevertheless, for, like I said earlier, French team at home, they're going to want to make a big statement in front of their fans. So it could be a tough afternoon for Connacht.
Okay, before we finish with your predictions, Cian, obviously Andy Farrell was named yesterday. The secret we all knew about as the new Lions head coach for the tour to Australia. I mean, it really just seems like this job was just made for Andy Farrell, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, the worst kept secret in rugby was finally let out of the bag. Yeah, it does. Like everyone probably heard him speak yesterday at this stage, and the amount of pride and passion he speaks about, I would say, about any team that he's involved in. But I think the Lions means a lot to him. Obviously, he was part of the 2013 and 2017 tours, would have been part of the 2021 tour, but I would say sensibly decided to focus on Ireland. And I suppose Ireland's results since he did that spoke for themselves. I think it's fascinating to see a current Ireland head coach getting the gig. Like we speak about, you know, players trying to prove a point ahead of the Six Nations squad announcement next week, but the players are all going to try and prove a point to Andy Farrell over the next 18 months or whatever it is. You know, like there's obviously so long to go until it happens, but Ireland players are going to feel like they've much more of an opportunity now of, you know, earning the prestige that comes with, you know, getting the Lions cap. So like there's a lot of water to cross under the bridge. Like one thing that I was very pleased to see, I have to say, is that Andy Farrell will be in charge of the November internationals. So obviously he's going to do the Six Nations this year, but and the summer tour to South Africa, but there had been some suggestion that he might not be in charge of Ireland for the November internationals. And there's like apparently some big teams coming to town. There's been talks of the All Blacks potentially playing Ireland in Dublin in November. Hasn't been confirmed yet, but I was delighted to see that he's going to be in charge, because I think he's still got plenty of time. Like even the Six Nations, you're kind of going, could he, you know, still do the Six Nations? But I understand the Lions have their way of doing things, but I wonder if he could do both. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But it's a massive positive for Ireland that he's going to be doing the November internationals, and that will leave a massive void. There's no two ways about it. But I was writing about this earlier this week. I think if there's one thing the IRFU have done well over the last few years, it's their succession planning. I think you even see it in the case of Mike Catt leaving as attack coach at the end of the season. Andrew Goodman is a ready-made replacement. There was no long drawn-out process. And look, the IRFU would have known for a long, long time that Andy Farrell was going to get this gig, the Lions gig. The fact that there were no even other candidates, no one was even being tipped for the job, so that gives them even more time to prepare for who's going to take charge of the 2025 Six Nations. A lot will obviously depend on who Andy Farrell takes in his backroom team, but I think that, you know, the strong feeling would be that Simon Easterby would step up as interim Ireland head coach. He obviously did the Emerging Ireland tour in 2022. But that would depend, I think, if Paul O'Connell, is he going to stay or is he going to go? It's not going to be a case of Andy Farrell taking all of the Ireland coaches, obviously. But I'd be surprised if he didn't try and take Paul O'Connell, given his own, you know, rich Lions history as well. Obviously, Easterby has played for the Lions too, but I wouldn't be surprised if O'Connell gets the call, and if it works, obviously, for everyone. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. There's already been a few murmurings in terms of Andy Farrell's potential Lions backroom team. Felix Jones is a name that I've mentioned quite strongly, actually. I believe Andy Farrell is a big fan of Felix Jones and the body of work that he's put together. But because he's only taken over as England defence coach in the Six Nations, I think it will depend on how he gets on. It will depend on the RFU, but that's definitely one to watch. Felix Jones possibly joining Andy Farrell's backroom team.
Okay, it's a bit down the line yet. Let's look back to this weekend, Cian. So give me your predictions out of the four provinces. What are you expecting?
I'll start with Leinster at Aviva because that should probably be the easiest one, I would imagine. I'm expecting a big win. I'm expecting a bonus point win for Leinster and a good performance to go with it. I think Munster are going to find it tough in the Mayall, like we've outlined. Like Toulon have picked such a strong team, and I would fancy Toulon maybe to pit Munster there. Similarly to Leon, I think that just Connacht's form this season has been a bit patchy, even though they had the big win, but Toulon could expose them defensively again, particularly without a guy like Bundiaki in midfield. And I think the Ulster game is actually tough to call, which a few weeks ago I would have been absolutely not hesitating in saying Toulouse. But Ulster have good momentum behind them, but I would still fancy Toulouse. I think they've got so much firepower and quality in that team. So they're also a far better team, I would suggest, than the Racing team that arrived at Belfast a few weeks ago. So I would say Toulouse just about.
Okay, Keane, great stuff. Thank you for that. It is going to be a huge Saturday for those of us who won't be leaving the couch. You're going to be in the Aviva Stadium, Keane, is that right?
I will. I'm just setting up my tent here now. I'm not going to leave.
Not going to leave. Okay, well, Will and Luke will be back next week to review all those games. And we'll also be back next Wednesday as well. As Keane was mentioning there, that is the day that the Ireland squad for the Six Nations will be announced. We'll have an extra podcast on that day as well. Until then, enjoy the rugby.